Good morning. Please stand as we sing the call to worship, which is Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you. this time we'll light the Advent candles.
We light this candle as a symbol of the Prince of Peace. May the visitation of your Holy Spirit of God make us ready for the coming of Jesus. Okay, let's see. Our next hymn is Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, in 229.
Responsive reading. Children of God, the arrival of the Promised One is almost here. The message of the prophets and the expectation residing in Mary's womb calls to us today.
We listen as people of God's promise.
Mary's yes and Elizabeth's faithfulness guide our path, showing us that we too have a role to play in bearing God's good news to the world. This is the promise Mary, Elizabeth, and the prophets bore that we continue to carry even today. God is with us. Come here in time for prayers and concerns. Again, keep Karen Dixon and her family in your prayers. Her father passed away Friday, and this is it's never a good thing to have somebody pass away, but this close to the holidays has got to be a lot more difficult and a lot harder to deal with. So let's keep them and their family in your prayers. And I guess the same thing I'm going to just keep repeating, you know, have a good, safe, and happy Merry Christmas. Be safe. but also keep in your prayers those who are more needy, those who may not have shelter, those who may be cold, those who may have children and no way to give them gifts, people who have nothing to eat. Keep all those in your mind. This is a happy, it's a glad time of the year for most people, but for many people, it's not. It can be a very sad time and a very depressing time. So keep those two thoughts in your prayers. Pray for those in need, and pray that everybody else has a safe and merry Christmas. Does anybody have any other concerns, joys? Thank you.
Please stand as we sing While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, 236. At this time, we'll present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. God of grace and wonder, we offer you these gifts in response to your call. As Mary responded with faith, we too say, here we are, let it be to us. Use these offerings to further your kingdom on earth. Empower us to be bearers of Christ's presence, bringing hope and love to our community. May our giving reflect the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, and bring light and joy to all in this Advent season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So today, before you get upset, I had to add a scripture. I put the scriptures in early, and then I work on the message. and this week I added a scripture after the fact. So our first scripture is going to be Micah 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. And our second reading is, as should be on the screen, Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home, and she greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor? The mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Before we hear about today's scriptures, let's talk about the word almost as contained in Advent. There's a particular feeling evoked by the word almost. We're almost on vacation. Dinner is almost done. Christmas is almost here. For me, almost brings this sense of leaning in, of straining forward, of holding out for just a little bit longer. Depending on what I'm waiting for, almost can make me lean in with an anxiety or hope or a mix of both. What it is about almost that makes us lean in? What's on the other side that makes us hold out a little longer? More often than not, it's the promise that what we've been waiting on will come to fruition. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we receive promise with the hope of fruition. Not hope as a wish, but hope actively moving towards fulfillment. Mary is pregnant with the Messiah. I got a little messed up here. Now we're done talking about always. I seem to have a little bit of a glitch here, but now we'll get on into the scriptures. So Micah shares with whispers, not abstract promises, but a promise springing forth, for in the quiet town of Bethlehem, a promise of provision, security, and peace. These are not pie-in-the-sky theoretical ideas. Mary, Elizabeth, Bethlehem, all of us, we're all recipients of a real and tangible promise. The promise that is already here, and yet not yet here. The promise that is almost. Contained with the almost of Advent is a promise that our work is vital. By grace, we participate with God in making the almost a reality in our homes, neighborhoods, and communities. Well, I apologize. I don't know how this got messed up here. I must have shuffled it when I went over it. So now we're going to talk about today's scriptures. Okay. Greetings, favored one. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, we are being addressed. Well, are we being addressed, all of us? Well, not actually, not us. After all, the first one that's addressed in the scriptures is Mary. And we'll get back to her in a minute. And then there's the whole people of a community called Bethlehem of Ephrathah. And we'll get back to them in a moment also. So we're not being addressed, except that we are. We are being the ones called out, but we're being invited. I'm sorry, we're being included, not invited. The us is humanity. It's us that we're here in these texts. We are present or represented or recognized or however you want to understand us to being read into this story. There's an invitation this week. It's an ongoing invitation to the party that is the kingdom of God. It's the celebration to be of the realm of God. What is clear in our scripts this week is the incredible news that God has chosen to include us in this process. Now, we could question the wisdom of this choice from his divine mind if we would dare to even think of doing such a thing. We could wonder why God wouldn't simply snap his divine fingers and make kingdom happen. We could wonder why there wasn't an inevitable assembly line process towards his kingdom that we might watch and be invited as it unfolds. We could wonder why the Holy One didn't just start here with completion already in place. Or wait, we could wonder, and that's another of the gifts we have been given, the capacity to question the way things are. Now, the tragedy of this capacity to question is the unfortunate possibility of missing the invitation. We might think the invitation doesn't include us, but others more directly involved. Or we might think that there are ancient stories and they're really not directed towards us, except as something to remember and appreciate. Greetings, favored one. There's an angel in our living room, a shining presence, inviting us to acknowledge that God has chosen to use us in this kingdom-building exercise called incarnation. Now please, we don't diminish Mary when we do this. We stand with her in wonder and awe. How can this be, we wonder? We aren't equipped. We aren't resourced. We aren't prepared to bring to life this Christ presence in our world today. We are too fallible. We are too uncertain. And we're too busy with our own lives. Mary asked the question too. It was all too much for this young woman, betrothed to be married. She knew that as things usually work, she was not prepared to be a mother to a Savior. And frankly, the angel wasn't much help to her also. The instructions were frighteningly vague. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Before rushing on to talk, probably with some relief on the angel's part, it seems the invitation seems to be about being the center and then not the center of this event. It's to be the means of grace incarnating in the world, but it is not about you in the end. Overshadow? That seems to be the antithesis of self-centeredness that the world seems to want to focus on. It's both an elevation and a lessening of the person. It is both a blessing and a burden. And it all hinges on the acceptance of this overwhelmed young girl trembling before an angel in her living room. What an amazing thing when you think about it. I wonder if Gabriel was just as nervous as Mary on that day, nervous that she had more power, more agency than he was used to dealing with. God chooses to invite and not force. God chooses to wait for our willingness and doesn't bend our will with power beyond our resistance. Why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? From Luke chapter 1. Yes, okay, but here's the real message. It's about Elizabeth, except Elizabeth wouldn't say so. She redirects. She looks beyond. She has her role in the drama, but is willing to move from center stage so that another might stand in the promise of which they are both a part of. Now Mary hears another greeting. This one's a bit more human, and yet there is a taste of the divine in it. There is a promise in the greeting and in the question that follows. Elizabeth, glowing from her own miracle, points the light onto Mary, on the one she carries, the hope of the world, the promise to which the people of God had clung to for centuries. Blessed is she who believed. And that's also from Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth says at the end of her welcome to Mary, but who is she? Well, Mary, of course. Mary believed. But then didn't Elizabeth believe as well? Or if she did not believe ahead of time, didn't she believe in the process? How else could she now come to greet Mary with such conviction and such certainty? Elizabeth is living the promise. She is a sign, just like Mary is a sign, that God is with them. She who believed includes Elizabeth. And who else is included in the affirmation of faith? This meeting greeting at the door of Elizabeth's house. And then we come to Anu Bethlehem of Ephrath. What about this village? Where is their agency? What does the prophecy mean in the end? Is it inevitable? Is it going to happen no matter what? Well, perhaps. But this prophecy is coming true, says Luke. It's coming true through the agency of a young woman. Fulfillment is a choice. It's an invitation. It's a participation in the workings of God. We are citizens of the Bethlehem of Ephrath. We are Mary, standing before the angelic messenger. We are part of what God is doing and continuing to do in our midst. The invitation here is to respond like Mary. Here I am. Here we are. Let it be in us. Let us be the ongoing incarnation of God at work among us. Is this a promise of this fourth Sunday of Advent? That we promise to be God-bearers as we work and walk? As disciples of Jesus Christ in the world and our communities, are we working and walking the right path? That would be a powerful expression of our faith as we worship together. It would be a glorious entry into the Christmas season and observances. In the end, we are saying that there is room for the Savior to be born amongst us. We will make room. We will be the room. You know, we will be the sign that God is present. Emmanuel is the expression of this God that we worship. That is the real promise here. Our response is vital. God claims that our work is integral to the working out of the kingdom. But the promise is that we do not do this alone. The Savior will stand and feed the flock, says Micah. The Savior will be with us. Greetings, favored one, says the angel in Luke's gospel. The Lord is with you. Even the initial response is supported by God's presence. We call that prevenient grace. The promise we celebrate, the promise we live into, is that God will be, God has been, God is with us, and God will always be with us. Let us move into the Christmas season embracing this promise and seeing God at work in us, through us, and around us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand as we sing We Now Christmas.
For those of us who are going to be here Christmas Eve, you can ignore this part, but I would just like to say for those who are not, to have a very, very safe, a very, very merry, and a very, very blessed Christmas. So go now in the blessing of God's promise and in the assurance, with the assurance that our expectant joy will find its fulfillment in the God who was, who is, and who will be with us always. Go now in peace. Amen.
Let us each time the process in Christ. wonderful Christmas.